Okay, so this Shabbos, we're coming toward the end of Svira. By next week already, it's going to be Shavuos. So this is what we call the last Shabbos before Shavuos. It happens to be, looking around to preparing for this class, I didn't realize it has several different names based on several different concepts. Nicknames based on several different concepts. And it's interesting, I didn't even know most of this the last 26 hours or so. So it starts like this. On the first source we gave, which is page 506, in Shemos 34:1, what happens with the story was this. Jews got the Torah original year when they left Egypt. They got the Torah on Shavuos. And then Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days. Arguing when the 40 days began, when it didn't begin. He came down, and it was Shivas of the Tamas. And at that point already, they had the sin of the golden calf. Sin of the golden calf, Cheder Egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the Luchas. And then he stuck, then he went right back up to try to see if he can use such a quote, calm Hashem down, try to prolong justice. Hopefully things will work out. He went up from Shivas Batamas 40 more days, and he reaches Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is all how it works on our calendar year, on a yearly basis. Then he went, then he got the good news that it would be good, came back, and then went back for a third time, 40 days, and settled it on Yom Kippur. But the first 40 days, now when he got the green light, what Hashem used was this phrase in front of us. 34:1. 34:1 says Hashem said, carve for yourself two stone tablets like the first ones. Because obviously Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the first set of Luchas. So in the forgiveness process, part of the forgiveness process, we'll start over, but we will have as well a new set of Luchas. And that's what happened. He said, do for yourself. Now Rashi there says, we have the Sfarya, Rashi on the second Rashi there, Rashi is a funny thing. You broke the first one. Therefore you arrange for the new set. And this mashal is what we're going to start discussing tonight. The first of many answers. Mashal, Rashi gives a parable. The melech, a king, he went away from the palace. He left his, what they call, engaged girlfriend. I don't know what the word is there. He left his girlfriend behind with the staff.
Betrothed.
Not a word that's an everyday occurrence. He left his engaged betrothed with the rest of the staff. He tried to kill Klashvach. But like, what does the staff do when the boss went away? When the king went away, staff acted out and they weren't good. So the king was in his faraway land. He gets a phone call. By the way, it's a house party. That's what's going on. And instead of assuming the house party was just, they raided the wine cellar and he assumed it was just only the workers, he found out, he assumed that in the mayhem was his girlfriend as well. So what was Sheshvina in English? I'm going to guess bridesmaid, main man, good friend. I don't know what the English is there. He tore up the engagement. The old days, they had it serious. Engagement was a contract. Like we said, we spoke about a few weeks ago, I think of it. That we don't have engagement in American society, what's called Jewish engagements. What the Jews do in America, and so it might be a little different, is that we get engaged and married under the chuppah. The contract of when the rabbi takes a few minutes off and everyone's talking is the engagement of about, depends how slow he reads, anywhere from 3.5 minutes to 12 and a half minutes. That's the engagement period after you gave the ring. And then start the marriage. But here is the old days when they had a year break in between, sometimes a different amount of time. So the good friend decided to tear up the contract. He tore up the contract. Oh, my son, if the king comes back and said, oh, she cheated on me, he'll say, listen, where's the proof? You don't got any proof. You show me the contract. I tore it up. She was never your wife. Anyway, the king returned, did an investigative reporting, and found out that the future queen was all good. And it was only the staff that had the house party. So he went back to the guy, and he says, listen, you tore up the contract. I understand your thought process is good. He tore it up. You got to go now buy the paper and go create another contract. Another engagement contract. And don't worry, I'll sign it for you. Then Rashi ends up crucial. Katsa Melech, who's the king in this case? Hashem. Who are the workers staff partying? Erava, those are the people that joined Kaisal. This is also about the Schait of the Eagle. By Shoshrin, and who is the main man, whatever we call him? Zemesh Rabbeinu. Who's the engaged party? Kaisal. We have a concept in Kaisal that Kaisal, on some level, on Wednesday night class more than for tonight, are the engaged married to Akash Barku. In fact, once you have it open, Charles, we got a page 492, which will be on in Shemois. The last verse of chapter 31, we have a similar concept there. And the similar pasuk says, by the end of 31, page 492, when Moshe finished speaking to Hashem at Sinai, Hashem gave Moshe two tablets of testimony, stone tablets. This was, we're going back a little bit beforehand. But the Hebrew word, if chaspa is the Hebrew word, 31:18, Moshe kekalosai, the dabaraisai. Kekalosai means, in English, when he finished speaking with Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the exact word. And Rashi, if I remember, Rashi says it's not written the correct way. And Rashi says, I'll tell you why. Because the word spells a kala, a bride. Once again, we have an open pasuk in the Torah that seems to be telling us this unbelievable idea that the bride of Hashem, whatever that means, is the nation of Judaism. Why are we discussing this right now? I'll tell you why. Because the contract, the marriage contract is the Torah we have. Every year, to steal an American disgusting phrase, I know, disgusting using the Torah, not disgusting phrase, is every year we renew our vows on Shavuos night. Shavuos night, we re-accept the Torah, Torah being the contract as we just saw. That's Maharshal Rashi saying, you destroyed the contract, you destroyed the engagement piece of paper, so you got to redo it again. That is the thing, which means in Judaism, we have a phrase, which is also referred to as the Shabbos. Nickname number one. In Judaism, we have a phrase that's called Shabbos Kala. When someone's about to get married, by the chassan, we call them Ufruf. Pretty sure that's a Yiddish word, probably not even Yiddish, probably stolen from different language. That's the Yiddish word. But and the wife, the bride, future to be, called Shabbos Kala. Just to know, nickname number one for this week about to show up, you should know, if you look through the Svarim Akadoshim, this Shabbos is called Shabbos Kala. Klal Yisrael is renewing the vows with a Kala, with a bride of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thing number one. Now, I don't think in Bnei Avraham we say a lot of the Yotzes. That's something that tells me that is not something that's done here. But the fact is, there are some communities that have special Yotzes, they say, this Shabbos. And we're not going to do it now, but the Yotzes are talking about the wedding ceremony, the fact that we're going to have a wedding coming up, and the fact that we have a marriage contract, and it refers again to the Luchas as a marriage contract.
What word is that?
Yotzos? Is there an English word for Yotzos? Ben, what's is there an English for Yotzos? Yotzos, or what's it?
What's Yotzos? It's what you sing. It's Shmoneh
Esrei. During the repetitive of Shmoneh Esrei, Rosh Hashanah, you have a lot of them. It's those extra pages of piyutim. Yotzos is piyutim. Piyutim is poems. But Yotzos are the extra things we add. And it depends on, so Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, people do, depends how many you actually do. But and there are throughout the year, not in those four Shabbos and before Pesach, there are a bunch. This Shabbos, I would say most places don't do it. But this Shabbos, some of the communities actually do Yotzos. And if you read the Yotzos, why? Because the first answer we have right now to know about is we all know the nickname for this upcoming Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Kala.
Do you mind the recap?
So we can say that this Shabbos is coming up before Shavuos. And we just proved, you have to get the audio, video, whatever it is that the Luchos, the Torah, is a marriage contract between the Jews as a nation and Hashem. And this week, since we're going to renew our vows next Shabbos on Shavuos, this Shabbos is Shabbos Kala. The Shabbos Kala is coming Shabbos. We're a week before Shavuos.
This week we're renewing our...
This week is... No, the Shavuos is the renewal. Like the marriage. The marriage is on Shavuos. The anniversary is on Shavuos of when Hashem gave us the contract, the marriage contract. This Shabbos is called Shabbos Kala. A week before you get married, the husband goes to what's called an Ufruf, and the Kala goes to Shabbos Kala. This week is called the Shabbos Kala. Practically speaking, Yotzos, which you're saying most of us are not going to do, some might have a custom. I didn't see it brought down, but I'm assuming yes. Some have a custom. They probably say Shabbos Kala Shalom, Shabbos, the Shabbos Kala. Like, because before Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch brings down the code of laws that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol. One of the first Zooms we ever did, probably the first or second Zoom we ever did, was during Corona, beginning of it, was that we said, why does a halacha quote that it's called Shabbos HaGadol? Like, that's a nickname. Who cares about a name? That's not a practical law. That's just a concept. And some of them brought down, some bring down that, Shulchan Aruch is not writing Musa Shmuzin nicknames. That's not what it does. He writes real law, practical law. The practical law was that people used to, on Shabbos HaGadol, week before Passover, before Pesach, would say the Shabbos HaGadol today. They would mention it when they talk to each other. So it's possible, I'm extrapolating, it's possible that according to these communities that would go through the Yotzos, this Shabbos, it's possible that when you say just the regular good Shabbos, Shabbos Shalom, you would add on good Shabbos Kala, whatever the extra way, figure out how to say it the proper way, but it's possible. So nickname number one, we're going to go through several, which we now proved in Rashi in a couple places. Nickname number one for the Shabbos is called Shabbos Kala. That's not the only nickname for this week's Shabbos. Amazing. The next source we had there was in Masechta Avos. Masechta Avos has Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, and Masechta Avos has a concept. That's really the concept there is, there's a famous phrase in Judaism. I'll say it in Hebrew. I'm assuming everyone here knows it. I have full confidence, Michael. Derech Cheretz derech eretz kadma l'tayr. In English, what it means is derech eretz. I mean, there's a million interpretations, but in English, what it means is that being a nice human being, a healthy human being, comes before Torah knowledge. That's a very crude, simple way of interpreting those words. But there's something called derech eretz kadma l'tayr, and it applies in a million different ways possible. That Mishnah, you have it on the screen. The Mishnah and Ovis and Ethics, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, is potentially one of the sources. We've discussed in the past, in Judaism, we don't believe in phrases that have no sources. They have sources, they have meanings, they have multiple meanings. Even Yiddish phrases that seem to have begun 300 years ago, there are rabbis who write books on this stuff. Every phrase in Judaism has real, serious connotations. It's shaking the world above. Now, this phrase, Derech Eretz Kadma L'tayr, not so clear where that phrase starts. One of them might be this Mishnah. This Mishnah quotes who? Is it Rabbi Eliezer? Who's in the Mishnah? I don't remember now. Rabbi Gamliel. Who says that what? That Torah, if someone studies Torah with Derech Eretz, I guess they mean English, means having a job, it's another phrase there, is the best way to do things. Derech Eretz might not be a nice person, might also be a healthy person, meaning work a little bit, be a self-sustaining. But the word "im" means like this. Just how you read it in English. When I say, I am with Michael. On some level, the understanding, the subliminal point of that message is that Michael's number one. I am with him. He's here. I just joined him. I think that's, I don't know if it works in English as well in Hebrew. Ani imcha means I go with you. You're, I don't say main character, but well, first character, whatever it's going to be, you're there first. So in this phrase, which we have in English in front of us, this phrase where it says, we'll move chairs around, this phrase where it says, yafeh, which says beauty, Torah im derech eretz, Torah with derech eretz, would mean that derech eretz has to come first. So the second interpretation is that there is an idea of having Torah with derech eretz, means derech eretz was there already, right? Torah im derech eretz means derech eretz was there, and now we have Torah as well. So some of the Hasidic Sforim bring down, some of the Hasidic Sforim offer this concept. You want to know the name of this Shabbos? You did, you missed number one, but it's fine. Join us now. What do we call this Shabbos? By Menlo Rimanova, early 1800s, he passed away. He says we refer to the Shabbos as Shabbos Derech Eretz. Why? It's the Shabbos before Torah, which is next Shabbos. Next Shabbos, which I keep on saying Shabbos, is really Shavuos. And it's both. It's going to be Shabbos and Shavuos. We'll discuss the confluence of events in the next Tuesday night class mentorship. So that's a major event when you have Shabbos and Shavuos together. But before that, we're the week before that. But next Shabbos, which they say Shabbos means Shabbos Shavuos. What's this week is a Shabbos before. So if next Shabbos represents Shavuos, Torah, accepting the Torah, learning Torah, everything about Torah, you know what this Shabbos is? Derech Eretz. The Shabbos before is called Shabbos Derech Eretz. So answer number one is what do we refer to the Shabbos? Shabbos Kala. I can't say there's a lot of practical laws relevant to us in 2023. Can't say that. Second one, Shabbos Derech Eretz. Is each on his own. I don't know if there's a practical universal rule, but each on his own should work on what Derech Eretz is. Either first interpretation, we said Derech Eretz means being a healthy human being, a nice human being. Two, meaning being a self-sustaining person. But it means before you get to the Torah, there's some concept that's required as well. So right now we started with two different potential names for the Shabbos, because this is a monster Shabbos coming up, the week before Shavuos. Number three is an easy one. Actually, not brought down in many sources, but interesting. I told you before, so I just thought of this now. I told you before, I didn't even quote this in one of the links. I told you before that we all know, this is one that we do know, is that before Pesach, the Shabbos before Pesach, is called Shabbos HaGadol. HaGadol means the large, the big Shabbos. The big Shabbos. What makes it a big Shabbos? Go through the old, Costco's old videos. But there is a Rishon, we're going back to 1300s, we got to take it seriously. There is a Rishon that says, although we as a population, in the way we speak, call Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos before Pesach, we should know that before the three big holidays is a Shabbos HaGadol. There's a Shabbos HaGadol before Sukkot. We don't speak that way, and there's a Shabbos HaGadol before Shavuos. Happens to be, on what I said a minute ago of Shabbos Derech Eretz, the Menlo Rimanov adds on. He said, the Shabbos before Pesach, we call Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos before, he says Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we call Shabbos Shuvah. Those are twice a year when the rabbis get up and speak. I mean, more than that, but those are the big ones, right? Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah, right before Yom Kippur Sukkot, depends on how it works out the calendar, and Shabbos HaGadol right before Pesach, is huge Shabbos. And we call one Shabbos Hagadol, one Shabbos Shuvah. But there are early commentators that say, maybe we'll call it Shabbos Shuvah. That's one of the names. We also refer to Shabbos Hagadol. Anytime you're on a Shabbos prior to one of the three major holidays, you are to refer to it as a Shabbos Hagadol, which would mean Shabbos Shuvah coming up in a few months from now, we will be remembered to call Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos Hagadol, according to some Rishonim. And this Shabbos, we now have three potential nicknames for the Shabbos. Shabbos Kala, Shabbos Derech Eretz, and Shabbos Hagadol. And those are so far the sources. What was the next source to get the next name? I forgot now. The next source was, this is a big one. In Shemais.
Exodus 20-15.
This is huge. This is huge, and this is going to be for all of us, hopefully. What is it, 2015? 2015, and this version is 412. Now, something, what's amazing, 412 and page 412. And you, it's Shemais chapter 20, what'd you say? Verse 15. Now, when you read through the Rashi's here, that I found the Rashi, that's the easiest. When it says when the Jews were going to accept upon themselves the Torah, there were a series of events that happened. Hashem asked the Jews, do you want to do it? And there's a whole bunch of events that in reenactment time will occur next week. Next week will be those 6 days prior to the giving of the Torah that have a lot of events. Now, among the things of the miracle of Sinai, when the world shook, when the non-Jews in the world ran to Bilam, according to the Talmud, and said, what is going on right now? This is God destroying the world. It was a major event. We say in Hallel, the mountains were jumping, right? It was a world, one-time world event history. Prior to that, here it says the phrase, V'chol ha'am, the entire people, saw the thunder. We're not discussing how that works in reality. But they saw the thunder and the lightning. Lightning makes sense. They saw the flames and the sound of the shofar. We're not going to how they see sound. Rashi says, Chasla is a Rashi there. Melamed, what's the word V'chol? Every word in the Torah worth $1 billion. What does it mean, V'chol, the entire people saw? So it means everyone saw. The Medrash says, no. Everyone saw tells you something. Everyone saw means, Melamed, Shaloi Hoya, Behem Echad Sumo. There was not one person with an eye defect in Klai Yisrael. Because when the Torah tells you everyone saw, the Torah doesn't exaggerate. Everyone saw means everyone was able to see. Which means if there was someone prior to this event that couldn't see, he was healed. Rashi continues, and by the way, which if you go through those Rashis, you'll find it separately as well. Rashi adds on that if you look earlier, how do you know there isn't someone, Elaine? Elaine is a mute. How do you know there wasn't one person in Judaism at that moment that couldn't speak? Talmud Lomer, because earlier it says, Vayanu Kalam, the entire nation said, we accept the Torah. The entire nation said, everyone who had to speak. No, I don't want to say stuttering, because it's not a stuttering, but it means everyone, there was no mute, everyone had a clear voice. Rashi finishes more. Umenayim Shalei Ben Cherish. No, there's only one deaf. There's a deaf guy in Klai Yisrael. Talmud Lomer, Naaseh V'Nishma. We will hear, we will do. Everyone said, we will hear. You know what that means? Everyone heard. You know what that means? Everyone was healed. It came to the beginning of the Torah, it was such a massive event that the world was shaking. But besides the world shaking, the miraculous event of Har Sinai was that every Jew was 100% healed. And maybe one day we'll go back to it. Did that remain through the angel? Maybe one day we'll get back to that conversation. But there was a moment in history that every Jew was perfectly healed. Now, when did this occur? According to some of the Sfarim, this Shabbos had to happen prior to Sinai. This Shabbos is that event. This Shabbos is called the Shabbos of healing. That means every one of us, since we're reenacting our vows, since we're going through this again, the idea is that this potential Shabbos is a Shabbos of healing. People going through, Le'olenu, any health issues, I'm going to add on, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally. That's my addition. Why not? Healthy human being has to be a healthy human being. That would mean that on some level, this Shabbos is it. This is the Shabbos of healing, which would mean that this Shabbos, when you're wishing someone a good Shabbos, that would be yourself. I quote the Gemara there. The Gemara says that on Shabbos, we don't ask for healing. We don't ask for healing on Shabbos in a normal situation. I'm saying that in this Shabbos, I don't know about asking, that's an halacha, ask the rabbi, but this Shabbos, Shishno, has a powerful effect. The powerful effect is going back in history, this was the Shabbos that everyone was with. So we have to know for ourselves, if we're reenacting the events, and we're going to tell Hashem, you know what? We're going to re-accept the Torah next week. We're going back in time travel, and we're going to do what they did then. I don't think it's far to say, Hashem, you know, let's flip the script too. We're going to go back in time and accept upon ourselves the Torah. You go back in time and heal us all. I don't think it's a far thing to say. So now we have four names of the Shabbos. Shabbos Kala.
Shabbat Refuah Shlema.
I didn't see that name. I didn't see. I thought it's funny because I was looking around if anyone used the name of it. I'm using a nickname because I use the other three as nickname. I didn't see anyone say that, but I did see one source, but it's not the source that I'm like, the secondary source that said that we called Shabbos Refuah. Now, it happens to be what you're saying is interesting because when you wish someone Refuah, it's interesting we say Shleim. In English, what it means is a full recovery, complete recovery. When you think about it, and as I said, every phrase in Judaism is discussed at length, we don't use the word shleima every time. There are certain places we use the word shleima. Tshuva shleima. We use the word tshuva shleima. As someone should have full repentance. If you don't even know what that means. Refuah shleima is real, full thing. So I don't know. Now the question, now, if you want on its own, it's Esrit. So it's Aleph would be emunah shleima. That's a phrase used. You have full faith in Hashem. Tav is Tshuva Shleima, if you want to be Akram, Esrid. Reish is going to be Refuah Shleima, and Gimel is going to be Geula Shleima, which means complete redemption. But in general, when you think about even how we speak in English, the word full, complete, we don't always use it. But I don't know if that means this Shabbos would be called Shabbos Refuah or Shabbos Refuah Shleima. I don't know. We could decide our own. We could pick out our own what to do. But we do recognize that on some level, this Shabbos has immense, impressive powers. That is so far four separate ideas coming up for the Shabbos. You with me today?
Shabbat Kala, Derech Eretz, Shabbat Refuah,
and Shabbos HaGadol, which is three times a year. I mean, that's still not a lot, but three times a year Shabbos HaGadol. We have four potential names for the Shabbos. Now, something that's even more mind blowing, which I also gave in a source. What was the next one? What was the next one, Eric?
After the Gemara is
Shmos 1525. In Shmos. All in Shmos. We're searching the globe today in Shmos. Which is page 382. Again, this is going back. This is, I say it's a history book. Can't say the Torah is only a history book. Also a history book. It's not only a history book. Here, what happens was the Jews left. They sang the song of Shira on the eighth day of Pesach. And then they came along and they were missing water, whatever that meant. And that was one of the first great events. And here it says like this. They came to Moshe, top of the page, three, the pasuk before. And they said, what are we going to drink? Earlier it says, because these waters are bitter. The place is called Mara. Mara means bitter. The Jews reached a place, and we once discussed this years ago. Stephen, tell me if you remember this. When did the names in the desert show up? You're in a desert. And they reached a place called X. I mean, why is the place called X? In the middle of nowhere. Anyway, so they reached this place that now we're referring to as Mara, bitter water place. Bitter, which meant bitter waters. They had bitter waters. And they complained. And Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to Hashem. And Hashem showed him a tree. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And these next words. There, in English for Oshko, I don't know if it's says similar. There he established for the nation a decree and an ordinance. And there he tested us. I don't even know half those words mean in English. In Hebrew, Rashi on 25 says, Bimara, that's a location, place called Mara, Nasan Lehem, Mitzis Pasha Shatira. Remember, this is right after 8th day of Passover. So we're going through the original year. The Jews left first day of Passover. The night before was Makkos Bechoris, firstborn dying. Next morning, they're out. 7-8 days later is the splitting of the sea. We're before Torah. Torah's going to be Shavuos time. And now, within these couple days here, we got now a place called Mara. And the Chumash says, and here Hashem established the nation of decrees and ordinances. Rashi says, that Mara Naslahem Mitzas Parshis of Torah. He gave them a portion of Parshis of Torah. I don't know if it's even English. She's asked about him, that they should be busy with. I'm guessing English. And here Rashi says, Shabbos Paraduma Adim. They were given Shabbos. it'll give him paraduma. He'll give him dinim, the basic set of dinim. I don't know, that's a different conversation. But that means that Shabbos, the concept of Shabbos, was given before Sinai. Open, I'd say open pasuk, but it's open Rashi, but yeah, that's really pasuk. Shabbos was given prior to Sinai. The Hasidic forum bring down, but it's, that it wasn't reality. Shabbos was given before Sinai. You needed a Shabbos in order to have a Sinai. Shabbos wasn't given first because it works out. Shabbos was a prerequisite for the Sinai revelation, for the giving, accepting of the Torah was going to be a Shabbos, which would mean that, and this is obviously a couple of weeks ago in this calendar year, but it means that when we have a Shabbos before Shavuos coming up in a couple of days from now, that's just not we're having a Shabbos before Shavuos. Same mistake. We need the Shabbos before Shavuos in order to have the correct Shavuos. So while we're standing next week, and we're going to talk about Shavuos next week, Mircham, what we have to realize this week is we need the Shabbos before Shavuos. That's a serious event. It's not a happenstance. Oh, by the way, today's Tuesday. No. There's a reason why Tuesday comes before Wednesday, whatever that means. In reality, I know what that means. I hope that made sense. But we needed a Shabbos before. How much does a Shabbos go before Sinai is incredible? An Imre, an old Geravart, Chaslov Geravart. Is there a Siddur here? Can you get to a Siddur? I even put the Siddur down? No, in English. Go to Shabbos Davening. That is the whole Shabbos Davening? Yeah? Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. In Shabbos Davening, we say every Davening, this is unbelievable. Now, what we had a share on in the past, I think it was pre-COVID days, was that when you superimpose the Ten Commandments 1 that Moshe broke, Ten Commandments 2, they're not exactly word for word. You can spend a lifetime studying that. There are differences. Some are exact, but not every commandment is exact. But when it came to Shabbos, there was a big difference. In the first set of Luchas, which we have here, it says Shomer as Shabbos. Shomer is a... Hold on. Which will be right here on page 408 in its 20 in Shemois verse. We'll see in 1 second. 410. But here it says Zachar. Okay. Here it says Zachar Shem Shabbos. Fine. That's one of going to be the answers. So now it's like this. We have a concept that before Moshe Rabbeinu threw down the Luchas and destroyed the Luchas, the words is that the letters, the Isis, the spirituality, disappeared, flew up. And on some level, like a human body, when a person's alive, he weighs less. I mean, weigh less or just easy to carry? I don't even know how that works. But he weighs less, I think. Is it weighing less or just easy to carry? Not sure. But a person, I could pick up a live human being of X amount of weight that I probably cannot pick up if the person's not alive. Right?
They lose weight after they die.
It's active muscle.
But if they lose weight, they're still harder to lift.
I know.
It's dead weight. But
that excellent, good line.
Yeah, but
how come you're weighing less, but you're still harder to lift?
But
both could be true. I don't know.
It's easier to lift a live person.
Absolutely, easier to live.
You have to do actively.
Yes, but a dead person weighs less than a live person.
But it's easy to carry a live person, right? Now that's even if you're not holding on. It means even if you're holding like this. That's what they say. Now
it's easier to pick up a live person like Charles.
That's for sure because you're getting help. So a live person gets lifted. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to some, when the letters went up, he was holding two stones. When they were alive with the letters of the Torah, he was able to hold them. But as soon as the letters disappeared, they fell. He broke them. That's what the Kabbalistic writings bring down. Now, they want to say, and based on the Shabbos davening, that Shabbos, the letters of Shabbos, were not affected by the sin of the golden calf. Because the only thing affected by the sin of the golden calf were the Sinai mitzvahs. Hashem's Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, here's the mitzvah on Shavuos. I'm going up to get the Torah. Came down 40 days later. They sinned. They broke the Luchas. That was what I went to get the 40 Luchas, the Sinai Luchas. But since Shabbos was given beforehand, and we're saying it was a prerequisite, Shabbos was unaffected by the Egel, unaffected spiritually. The Shabbos rules stayed. And that's why it says, which we say in Davening on Shabbos, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down Yismach Moshe. Moshe is happy in Shabbos Shemin Esrei. It would be in Sephariah. There would be a liturgy. Is that the word?
Chakras
Shemin Esrei. Chakras and Esrei. The first stanza after the usual stanzas. After the Kodesh. Yes, Moshe ben Matnasalka. Moshe Rabbeinu should be happy with his personal gift. Kiev and them across the light, every word he would spend the year on. Klil's first verse is not the Bible. When he stood at Sinai, Shnei Luchas Avodim B'yadai, two stone tablets in his hand, the Chosid Behem, and it said on them, Shmira Shabbos. Now, here it says, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos. First 10 tablets says Zachar. Second tablet says Shamar. Were the second tablets given at Sinai? First tablets at Sinai. Second tablets were given on Yom Kippur, but not, it might have been Sinai, but not in open verses for sure. So it says these words in Davening every week. Maybe that'll help us to Shabbos. Let's concentrate on these words in Davening. What does it say? That he stood at Sinai with two tablets in his hand that he brought down, I'm guessing English, and it said among them, Shmiras Shabbos. Did it say Shmiras Shabbos? No, it should have said Shmiras Shabbos. Shmiras Shabbos should have said. Shmiras Shabbos would have said. That's what he brought down. He brought down the Zachar. He didn't bring down the Shamar. So the old Gerer Rebbes, they bring down, too much to go into all the details right now, is that since Shabbos is unaffected, those letters never disappeared. They always remain with the Luchas. Both the first set and the second set were always untouched in Shabbos. Of the Ten Commandments, maybe nine were affected spiritually by a sin. But the Shabbos was unaffected. Which means when we go into the Shabbos, we have to know that we're in a way going to the pre-Sinai event as a prerequisite for Sinai as well. Untouched by the Cheder Eidel. And therefore, we get the right to say we're going back to Sinai and we're all going to be healthy. And as Ben said, we don't only want Refuah Shleima, we want the full Esrig, Emunah Shleima, Tshuva Shleima, and of course, Geula Shleima, the final redemption, hopefully next week. Amen.